Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Welcome back to Lincoln the Movie. And for this discussion today, we have
Bill
and Josh
and Doris. So stay tuned as we continue Lincoln the Movie. Movies. Everybody seems to like the movies. And, you know, I like to go to movies where you can learn things about true incidents that happened in history or even present-day history. I think they're a lot more meaningful than just shoot-em-up movies. Don't you think so?
I think so. I like historical movies that teach me as well as entertain.
Because you read the books and you get pictures in your mind, but when you see them in the movies, it makes them even more real. So I think it's important to make more movies that have real historical background, don't you, Bill?
I prefer that too, Doris. I prefer maybe dramas, mysteries, things like that that make me think. After a while, I get a little bit tired of all the explosions and,
right.
and special effects.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So we're talking about Lincoln the Movie, so just a very brief review. What are we discussing about this, Josh?
Well, it was quite a process for this movie to get made. We learned yesterday about Steven Spielberg's efforts in making this movie have gone back 10 years, and he needed some help from his good friend and our good friend, Leo DiCaprio, who helped him get this movie made by calling Daniel Day-Lewis and asking him to reconsider playing this role.
Okay, and that's where we kind of left off. We had a good discussion, and I hope you were with us yesterday. Today, we're going to start the last few lines on page 16, and we're going to talk more about Lincoln, the great leader, and what he was like, and some things about him, which I think you'll find quite interesting, and some good vocabulary words to learn at the same time.
Yeah, there are some great vocabulary in this, Doris, and of course, not just the bold printed words, but hopefully our listeners have out there a yellow highlighter or maybe a red pen to underline words that we talk about.
I use a yellow one myself. I like to underline with yellow because it doesn't really, you know, I got a lot of yellow marks right on my paper here, haven't you, Ben?
I do too.
Yeah, those markers are good. Mark the words you don't know.
That's a great idea. So, because we like to explain a lot of these terms that aren't bold printed. A lot of idioms too.
Right. So let's start reading today's lesson and we'll go down through line 18.
Lincoln defined a great leader, says Spielberg. He stayed steady and true on his moral course, towards decency and civil rights and freedom. He never veered from that. Spielberg launched his project after meeting Goodwin in 1999. He immediately secured the rights to her book, even though she was only halfway done writing it. His first pass to persuade Day-Lewis to play the role was unsuccessful. Day-Lewis formally turned him down in an elegant letter written in longhand. He said, "I could never play Abraham Lincoln," says Spielberg, recalling the lunch conversation, "that it was just too intimidating. What if I don't succeed? I don't want to bring down the image of a great man." Spielberg moved on to other projects. That was before DiCaprio's intervention spurred a Day-Lewis reversal.
Well, that's one thing about Lincoln that we read about here at the beginning today. Everybody says this about him. He stayed steady and true on a moral course. And you can't say that of all leaders.
No, he was a president during a very difficult time in American history, of course, during the Civil War. And what the movie focuses on is his battle to end slavery. To pass the 13th Amendment before the end of the Civil War, and that was an extremely challenging time to get that done in the democratic process before the war concluded.
And it's something where, you know, he had a lot of things going on. There are a lot of reasons people go back and review, well, why did the Civil War happen? A lot of, you know, actually Lincoln's primary goal was preservation of the Union, and then the emancipation, the elimination of slavery actually was a secondary reason, but it was a key reason. It was the number two reason behind it.
Well,
states' rights, things like that.
He believed in decency, which means everybody has human rights. Mm-hmm. And he felt that everybody had the same kind of rights, civil rights, that. And he thought everybody should have the same kind of freedom. And he never veered, or he never changed, he never strayed away from that, did he?
No. He could have given a carrot to the Confederacy, right, and said, well, we're going to stay as one country, but you can have slavery and it'll stay abolished in the North. But he didn't. He didn't veer from that, which means he never suddenly changed direction in order to preserve the nation.
And that's what he's remembered for mostly, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a good point Josh makes, because there were a lot of the people in the Senate and the House of Representatives, people around Lincoln, wanted to make that compromise. They knew the war was coming to an end, and they were actually willing to make the compromise. Let's just make peace. We'll let them still have slavery. We won't declare it illegal. And then it would have been this foggy gray area that would have just made things even worse for decades.
So then Spielberg, then when he started this project, he thought it was good. But what caused him to get onto this project? What made him think about it, Josh?
Well, he met Doris Kearns Goodwin, who's a very famous American historian, which means she writes books about American history. And he met her back in 1999 and learned of this project, this book about these 4 weeks in Lincoln's life. And he immediately secured the rights to the book, even though she was only halfway finished.
Well, he knew it was going to be good because of her track record.
Right.
She is, as you know, she's got quite a record. She's even had written books about Lyndon Baines Johnson before, John F. Kennedy, FDR. So she has a track record of writing books about presidents in addition to all of her other books.
Right. She's a good historian and was interesting. And so his first try, his first pass, it says in line 6 over here on page 17, his first pass. That just means his first try, right?
Right. So we're going back and learning a little bit more about something we discussed yesterday, that back in 2003, this not so famous but very accomplished actor, Daniel Day-Lewis, turned down the role of playing Abraham Lincoln. And now we learned how he turned it down, that
right.
He actually did it formally in a handwritten letter.
An elegant letter written in longhand. Most people don't write letters now and put them in the mail. They send emails or telephone calls or something. But this, he was very careful to write a nice letter himself. So we call that in longhand.
Yeah, if it was today, Daniel Day-Lewis just would have sent him a text message
right.
saying, no thanks, can't make it, see
yeah.
you.
It was an elegant tweet.
Yeah, quite different, right? Yeah. So that meant that he really had considered it. But you wonder, why would he turn it down? Here's this good actor. He knows how to – and you would think that he would be good. I would think, that's the kind of a role I want to play. So what made him turn it down?
Well, he says he could never play Lincoln, says Spielberg. So now we move out of the letter, and he's recalling that he took Daniel Day-Lewis to lunch and says that the role for Lewis was just too intimidating. So to play this beloved national treasure who we all have a picture in our mind of what he looks like and all his accomplishments caused fear in Daniel Day-Lewis. So when
it was
you're
intimidated, right.
You're fearful. You can't face something.
Have you ever been intimidated? I have.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I have been. You know, you might go into a meeting, maybe a big meeting with somebody important, or a job interview, or even, you know, something you have to stand up and give a speech. It's intimidating. It's scary.
When have you been intimidated?
Well, I was intimidated once when I had to go in New York to meet the editor of Time magazine, Henry Luce Jr.
Oh, wow.
And I had come from Taipei, and I was, you know, I didn't know how to – when the top of the Time Life building and meet Henry Luce Jr., oh, I was really intimidated. I didn't know what to say, and, you know, it was kind of – he was very friendly, but it's sort of intimidating to meet people like that.
It can be, right. It's just
he was intimidated.
I was intimidated.
I've got to meet Doris Brum today.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that was something. But I wanted him to do more to help people out in Asia, you know, and I had a cause to bring to him to help out in. But I thought, maybe I don't know how to say it right. And you know, he might not want to listen to me, you know. Intimidating.
Now, the reason – it's interesting why Daniel Day-Lewis was intimidated here, because he says, what if I don't succeed? And it wasn't about Daniel Day-Lewis.
No.
he wasn't afraid of his own failure more as much as he was afraid of damaging the image of Lincoln, which is a fascinating, you know, very deep reason from this guy.
Well, Bill, I was intimidated because I wanted to represent some things we wanted them to do in Asia, and it wasn't whether he liked me, but whether he would turn down the project. Mm. So
yeah,
that's
so you were thinking beyond yourself, right?
Right. Not just that you'd be rejected,
right,
which is some part of intimidation,
right,
sure.
But anyway, he turned him down, and he says, what if I don't succeed? And so then Spielberg said, okay, I guess I just can't talk him into it.
Right. We said yesterday, Spielberg has dozens of projects that he's working on in various stages, and so this one he just felt was dead for the time being, and he moved on, which means he then put his efforts into other movies.
Until that day when they were just having lunch with DiCaprio, and it just came up. He says, hey, how's your Lincoln? He was just talking, you know, generally speaking. He knew that Spielberg was interested in that, and he said, how's the Lincoln project? And that's what brought it up, just a conversation like that.
So the conversation then got Leonardo DiCaprio started on his intervention. It spurred a Day-Lewis reversal. Now, an intervention is when somebody steps in to a situation to try and alter the course of that situation.
And a reversal is when it changes then, reversed it from no to maybe or yes.
Yes, he spurred the reversal, means he put it into action. And we're all glad that he did.
So that's how it got started. Now, there's more stories to tell, so let's read on.
More stories to tell. Lincoln is shown visibly aging in the four-month span of the film, and he has trouble sleeping when dealing with the terrible war. Spielberg and Day-Lewis kept the same kind of late hours during the shoot, for very different reasons. The two would often text each other at 3 a.m. from their respective houses with interesting historical notes. I feel like I know the man now, Spielberg says. I feel like I've lived with him. I've spent time with him. I feel like I have heard a story. Not the only story that should be told of his life. There is so much room to tell so many stories of his life. Whether Spielberg ever decides to revisit one of those chapters remains up in the air, and any further Lincoln projects would certainly rely on a certain, sometimes reluctant, actor. I could, but not without Daniel Day-Lewis, Spielberg says, when asked if he's up for another Lincoln foray. I would never do it again without him.
So Lincoln is shown aging in this four-month span of the film. So he has to get older. And evidently, this movie was done in such a way that it looks so realistic that it just seemed like it was happening.
Well, visibly aging is when somebody, we actually see them change. Their hair maybe gets a little grayer. There's more wrinkles on their face.
Four months, Bill?
Well, you know what's interesting?
You haven't aged that much in 4 months, Bill.
I'm telling you, I look in the mirror, Doris, and I think back a few years. I'm like, I'm visibly aging.
So. I've been back in Taiwan for 4 months now, Doris. Do I look any older?
No, I don't think so. You know, don't talk about me because, you know, but actually, you know, in a movie, you do have to make these changes because it was a terrible war, and that took its toll on Lincoln, too.
That's right. And so we see this taking place over the course of the two-hour movie. So they must have, added more wrinkles to Day-Lewis's face, maybe made the hair a little bit grayer. And so we see this change happening on the big screen.
And they look tired, and no wonder, because they would text each other at 3 a.m. So that would keep him awake and help him be a little bit tired. So it was really that he did feel tired, right?
Well, I think this is just adrenaline and energy, what's going on with these guys. They were excited about the project. Mm-hmm. So, you know, their minds are racing. They're laying awake at night at 3 a.m. and they're thinking about, oh, what can we do? Maybe we can change this, do this about the movie. And also, oh, I read this about Lincoln today. And it actually helps them get more into the project, which will lead to a better final product.
Well, and Spielberg himself said, I feel like I know the man now, he says. I feel like I've lived with him and spent time with him. And, you know, to make a movie that you really feel that way is not easy, but evidently it was quite successful.
That's right. And he's been working on it for many years. The movie took a couple years to make. He had taken, obviously, 7 years to get to this point. So it's almost like he's brought this man to life. But there is more to tell. That's the title of this section. And then we get into a little bit deeper here, that there is more room, so much room in Lincoln's life to continue to tell more stories beyond just his fight to end slavery.
Right. In fact, I heard a story recently about something that Lincoln said that I hadn't heard before, and we're always hearing different things. Did you hear that someone just mentioned?
That's right. We were watching that video. It said that some of his opponents were asking him why was he being so nice to the leaders of the Confederate
army. They got angry with him when they were in the Congress, and they said, well, let's just kill all those people over there, and we're going to get rid of all those people that want slavery, and we're going to kill our enemies. And what did he say?
He said, I can destroy my enemies by making them my friends.
Instead of killing them, I can make them my friends. So that's a pretty good – say that again. What did he say?
You can destroy your enemies by making them your friends.
See, so that's another comment about Lincoln, right?
He's – like most politicians, he's a complex guy. And we talk about throughout this article how he was pushing forward to get this 13th Amendment passed. He wanted to get it done before the war was over. He did not want to give in to the compromisers,
right,
who just wanted a peace. However, he's talking about this enemy thing and making them his friends. He did have contact with negotiators from the Confederacy, and he intentionally made them stay outside of Washington, D.C. They were plan B, you could say, if all things failed. But he was aware of their presence. He had some contact with them. But he physically kept them outside of Washington, D.C.
That was a wise move.
Yeah. And so complex, prepared many ways. He didn't hate the people so much that he wasn't going to talk to them at least.
No,
so that fits
right
in with what
he
you just said.
He was willing to compromise,
yeah,
right. But anyway, whether Spielberg ever decides to revisit one of those chapters or go back into it remains up in the air. And up in the air is a very common idiom.
It is. It just means that it's uncertain. It's unknown. Your plans might be up in the air. The future, of course, for many of us is up in the air. And this, the future of Spielberg making any more movies about Lincoln,
you mean
remains
part two?
Up in the air.
Yeah. Lincoln Part 2, right?
Very well. It could be a sequel, we call it.
Well, you know, because everybody's, you know, interested in it now, and they might think, oh, that was good. Now let's see what happened then. You know, so but it's still up in the air.
Well, there's so much material to work with, so there could be projects in the future, but I like this sentence here. The only way it would happen is it would rely on a certain, sometimes reluctant actor playing that part.
And reluctant, what does that mean?
That means somebody who is a little hesitant to do something, wants to wait, not real anxious to do something. I'm going to think about this before I do it.
Well, you know, we have a sidebar about this man, about Daniel Day-Lewis, and it says a true Lincoln transformation. And this sidebar tells us more about it. What does it say on the sidebar there? Let's read part of that.
It says, Daniel Day-Lewis may have been born to play the 16th president of the United States.
What does that mean when you say somebody may have been born to?
Well, it's a natural. They're a natural fit to do it. They're because of their makeup.
Okay.
It's almost as if they were born to do that.
So read on.
Well, director Steven Spielberg says the actor had many of Abraham Lincoln's physical features when he showed up on the Lincoln set. That was his hair, his beard. He had a very light makeup on his face. And we added the mole, of course.
Okay, so he did look something like him. What else does it say here, Bill? It says
Day-Lewis. Day-Lewis did lose weight for the part of the famously rail-thin, extremely skinny leader. I don't know how much, says Spielberg, but he was as lean or as skinny as I've ever seen him. Now, how skinny we see here, there were no lifts required or things to make Day-Lewis taller because he was close to Lincoln's 6'4" height.
Okay,
and
what
stature.
About lifts? What are lifts?
Well, that's something that's going to, you know, we're going to add some height to him.
Putting your shoes.
As far as putting
in
shoes.
Yeah.
We're going to give him thicker soles to make him add another inch or two to his height. But Day-Lewis was 6'4". Now, Lincoln actually weighed around 175 pounds at this time,
tall.
Which is very thin for a 6'4" guy. 175.
Right.
I weigh 180,
yeah,
and
I'm
5'10". So, just imagine my weight spread
it
out.
It is amazing how actors can change their bodies for roles, isn't
I
it?
I know they have to sometimes, don't they?
It really is the
Well, let's read the rest of that, what it says about the historian Doris Kern.
Well, when historian Doris Kearns Goodwin took Day-Lewis on a tour of the young Lincoln's home and law office in Springfield, Illinois, to research the role, the actor had to stoop down to accommodate the low ceilings, just like Lincoln.
So he was just about as tall then.
That's right. So,
he was
stoop.
Sort of, he was good for the role.
It's like you have to bend down. You bend your neck and your back to avoid hitting something. Not something I've ever had to do because I'm not very tall.
So he says you may have been born to play this. Means that he fit it so well. He really was a role very suitable for him as far as looks and everything are concerned.
We talked about that yesterday, that picture at the top of page 5. I think if you covered up that it's a movie and asked someone, is that Abraham Lincoln? They'd say, sure it is.
Even the age, too, because when this movie was filmed, Daniel Day-Lewis was, I think it was about 54 or 55, which was the age of Lincoln right when this was all happening, the passage of the 13th Amendment. So he was even the same age.
So Spielberg really did appreciate that. In fact, what does the last paragraph of our article say on page 17.
Well, it says he could, but not without Daniel Day-Lewis.
He would not make another one without him in it.
No.
He won't take another person to take that role. If he makes another one, he's got to have that actor. That's what he said.
That's right?
Right.
When he's asked if he's up for another Lincoln foray, and a foray just means an attempt to do something outside of your usual normal activities.
Wouldn't do it without him. So I have evidently he was quite suited to the role. And if you haven't seen the movie, reading about this kind of makes you want to go and see it, doesn't it?
Sure does.
So it's not an advertisement for the movie, but it is giving you a little background for it so you understand what it's about.
Yeah, it would be a fascinating movie to see, to learn, to see this person come to life. So, well, and we had talked about Steven Spielberg trying to get Daniel Day-Lewis for this role, Doris, but there were other actors that Steven Spielberg considered for the role. And actually, we learn about one in our feature.
Welcome to Advanced Hollywood Happenings. I'm your host, Sandy Beach. And with me today is world-famous action movie star Rock Diamond. Great to have you here today, Rock.
It's great to be here, Sandy. You're looking stylish, as always.
Oh, Rock, you're such a charmer.
Yes, I am.
Rock, you've had a feverish schedule lately, working on 5 action movies at one time.
Well, Sandy, I like to keep busy, and I'm an action kind of guy. But I must admit, there's one movie I didn't get to work on that it leaves me a little blue.
Yes, I understand that you tried to secure the role of Abraham Lincoln in Steven Spielberg's recent hit, Lincoln.
Steve called me during the genesis of this project and said that I was one of 2 actors that he was considering for the lead role.
So at that time he was up in the air as to whether it would be you or Daniel Day-Lewis?
That's right, Sandy. He realized that it would be quite a departure from my usual action hero roles. But he said that I had the look of a president.
The look?
Yes, the look.
But he didn't pick you.
No, he decided to look elsewhere. Actually, my good friend Leonardo DiCaprio suggested Daniel Day-Lewis to him. And after a couple feverish phone calls, Steve picked him.
Were you disappointed?
For a while, I was. But just recently, Steven Spielberg called me and said he wants me to play Ronald Reagan in his next film.
Wow, you will get to play the role of president. Great news, Rock Diamond, and thanks for joining us here today on Advanced Hollywood Happenings.
My pleasure, Sandy.
I'm a big Rock Diamond fan.
Yeah, I guess you must be, Bill.
Yeah, I think he would have been just as good for the role.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but, you know.
I think it worked out for the best.
I think it worked out for the best.
For everybody.
That's right. You know, but as far as this movie is concerned, I'm sure it's one that will be talked about for a long time because Lincoln, as a person, a man of what he believes in, he never changed from his decency and his strong moral views. We need more presidents like that all over the world, don't we?
And I think we need more movies that showcase attributes like that, too.
That's right. That's right. So we've learned a lot. We've learned some new words. We've talked about a movie. And remember that even if you come up against things that are intimidating for you, that you should be brave and go through and follow through on them and don't give up.
That's right.
Yeah, I think that's one of the lessons that we can learn from a movie like this, to learn about Lincoln, is that learn about some of these character traits, what goes into making a great leader and a great person, and realize that we don't have to, you know, lie and cheat and steal to actually accomplish great things.
I think it also shows the talent, the broad talent of Steven Spielberg, right? That he can make great character movies without big explosions and battles, that he is just an extremely talented director.
That's true. So thanks for being with us today. And every day we have some interesting subjects here in advance. And also check our websites and write into us when you can on Facebook.
Well, sure. If you have any questions, you can do a couple things. One, go to our website and write us at letters@studioclassroom.com or go to our Facebook page, leave comments, because I know myself and Josh, Naomi, and some of the other teachers, we always check it every day, and we love to see comments from our listeners.
We don't need any these long handwritten letters that people don't do now, just Twitter or something like that, right?
That's right. Josh? Post a comment, post a video. We'd love to hear from you.
Right. And so until then, we'll see you next time. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.